right, we're back for another edition of the BAT podcast. After a little bit of a hiatus, we got the crew here. We got Alex here. We got Howard here. We got myself, Randy, from BAT. And we're broadcasting from BAT headquarters in San Francisco today with our new podcast setup we're excited about. And we're excited to bring some more episodes your way. But this one today, we're back in the office this week after kind of a wild weekend at Rennsport Reunion down the road at Laguna Seca. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit, guys, or what else?
Yeah, we should definitely talk about that. Glad to be back. Glad to have this great setup. A little disconcerting to hear my voice in the headphones, but hopefully it'll be better sound recording for everyone else. Rennsport's big Porsche blowout, which can be exciting for some people and not for others, depending on how they feel about the brand. Randy, you want to talk a little bit about what Rennsport is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, blown all over social media for the people that saw it.
Rennsport Reunion, I apologize.
Rennsport Reunion is the official name. Rennsport Reunion 7, I believe, is the official name. A couple of us have been to a couple other ones. I went to the one 4 or 5 years ago, also at Laguna Seca. And yeah, this is the Porsche company's just investment in their racing heritage, bringing out old cars. So it's just sort of a Porsche love fest is what it really is. And they choose to do it at a racetrack, which is great in my book.
Makes sense.
And they've done it at a few different racetracks. I believe they've always done it in the U.S., which I think is interesting, right? I actually think there's opportunity for them to do it somewhere else. But big audience in the U.S., a lot of cars, a lot of enthusiasm, and race and run groups. Howard was on track. We'd love to talk about that a little bit. And but it's great for spectators. You brought your boy down.
Yep.
We kind of did it in three different ways, the three of us, and talking about it in that context is interesting. But what I also want to talk about is Porsche is an interesting brand. We talk about them. Obviously, there's plenty of Porsches on BAT.
Mm-hmm.
But I was imagining...
Bring a Porsche.
Yeah. But I was imagining, like what is BMW Rennsport Reunion look like? You know, what is Mercedes Rennsport Reunion, right? Like if the track was full of CLK GTRs, would I show up? Yes.
Could they fill 10 run groups, 12 run groups
with
those cars?
Toyota Motorsport. What would that Rennsport Reunion look like? So anyway, debating a little bit who else can do this. A lot of people, you know, worship Porsche and are like, they're the only ones that could ever do this.
Yep.
And I get that, but I kind of wish that wasn't the truth.
I know.
And I'm imagining the other events that could be had. But anyway, Porsche, you know, goes wild for this event and invests in it. And it's super cool for us to attend and for Howard to be on track there. So let's talk about all those vibes. Howard, what was your experience there for the weekend?
Is this your first one too, Howard? Have you been?
Yeah, no, the three of us definitely had three very different experiences. I went to my first Rennsport in 2018 with you guys just as a spectator. And I was honestly blown away by the whole production. So that weekend, I made a commitment to myself that the next time this comes around, I wanted to be on the grid and in something. Even if you're deep in the Porsche world, you come to Rennsport and you're going to learn something. You're going to see something you haven't seen before. I think the first couple were maybe at Daytona, if I remember correctly. But honestly, I wish they did this more frequently than every 5 years. I think there'd be a big appetite for that. I know it's a big production to put it all together. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to drive a 2001 GT3 Cup car. There's seven or eight race groups, kind of spanning 50s through modern day, every variant of Porsche racing car you can imagine. What I thought was really awesome for my group and the rest was they were obviously very strict on car eligibility. Every car running on track had period history and is kind of the cars you saw driving in the day. But taking that one step further, they were had an extreme focus on having the period livery of that car ran in. There was a lot of people that had legit cars that wanted to drive. I know a few off the top of my head, but they couldn't get their stickers together. They couldn't get the car in the aesthetic shape that Rennsport wanted. And for a spectator perspective, that was fantastic to watch all these cars running around, all looking the part. And, you know, in the driver's seat on the racetrack, behind the wheel is the best seat in the house to watch the races. So, that's where I come at it from. I had a fantastic time. It actually rained on Saturday, which is one of the race days, which I'm sure the event organizers were absolutely mortified to see that weather report. Not that it was, torrential downpour, but it was kind of a blustery day. And in the afternoon, the rain started coming down, which made it interesting as we were all on slick tires. No one brought rain tires because it never rains. And that was definitely not in the forecast a couple days out. So that was a little hairy. But yeah, for me, it just added to the whole experience and made it pretty fun.
Howard, who's behind making those decisions? Or maybe you know this, Randy. What's Porsche's official involvement level with this? Is it an independent body that decides whether the liveries need to be period or not? Who's in charge of that?
I mean, Porsche North America is a big backer of it. They leave the race organization to a company called HSR, which is a guy named David Hinton, who is in the BAT community and is around. He's a great dude and runs a really tight ship. They run the Daytona Classic 24 in November and a number of other events. So I think they were a great selection to run the racing component. Tag Heuer was a big sponsor. I don't know if the Porsche Museum or the European factions came out. I'm sure there were reps out from that.
There were some significant cars there that I want to talk to you guys about at some point. Some cars that I've never seen, I was surprised to see.
No, just I was thrilled. It's almost worth entering a car just so you can have the better parking pass. Still doesn't get you into the paddock. It gets you up onto the dirt hill. But the stuff in the paddock, the VIP parking, whatever they called it, there was a big parking area of pretty much exclusively 959 Singers and Rod Emery hot rods. That could have been a car show in and of itself, and that was just a very small corner of the paddock. So all this stuff is nuts to see. It's definitely stimulation overload when you walk in there, but in the best way possible.
I'm really glad that you. It's interesting to see your excitement, Howard. Because one of the things I was going to say is, Randy and I nerd out about a lot of this stuff. We're like pretty hardcore Porsche people, but I don't know if you're like typically a super Porsche guy. I think of you as kind of into Italian cars and kind of being primarily focused on Alphas and stuff, but. Sounds like it got you pretty juiced up too.
No, that's what makes it fun for me. I'm not really a Porsche guy per se, but it's hard not to be a Porsche person when you're running around an event like that. Just the little things. I mean, I can't remember I've never driven into Laguna Seca where the sign said no ticket sales, event sold out. Like that was a jarring message. And it's like, wow, people are showing up for this. I think the stat was 120,000 people, which is the official capacity of that racetrack. The proof is in the pudding. That many people showing up for this is pretty nuts. And I would love, if they're listening, I would love for you guys to do it. I'm so fired up coming off the weekend. I would love for it to happen every year, at least every 2 years. But if you push it to every five, it's no wonder that people are so hungry to show up in droves.
I love that. We'll talk a little bit more about stuff on track, but these cars you're talking about, Alex, talk about it.
I mean, there were so many special things. I mean, to Howard's point, people were like, oh, it's going to sell out. It's going to sell out. And I was like, baloney. You never sell out Laguna Seca. And indeed they did. And I had to buy secondhand tickets. Thank you, Beck. Shout out to Beck, our colleague, who had a couple spares that I was able to pick up. I parked in a lot up on the hill that I didn't even know existed. It was so far away from the track. I was out in the boondocks scraping the bottom of my car.
You stay for the Doobie Brothers concert? Or
no, I missed the Doobs. Sorry. Sorry, I missed them. I actually didn't know that was happening. That's cool. I'm interested in what you guys think too, and kind of the comparison to what the Peninsula is like compared to Car Week. There were a lot of special cars running all over the place, a lot of late model Porsches, which surprised me. Maybe not, maybe that makes sense, but at the track, Randy, some really special stuff. I'm curious to hear what your kind of top ones were. For me, the Porsche Grand Prix car, the 804, there's only two of them, I think. I've certainly never seen one. I haven't been to the Porsche Museum since I was a little tiny kid, so that was really special to see. In that paddock kind of VIP area you were talking about, Howard, I saw four 959s together, which was incredible. There were 959s elsewhere too, but there was also Yellowbird and then another Yellowbird, a white one, which I've never seen. Did you catch that car, Randy?
I did. Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah, that's the one I kind of keep talking about the most. I didn't know that car existed, and it was awesome to just kind of see it there wedged between, you know, two 3.2 Carreras. Awesome to see. What was special to you?
The garages near the pit lane were filled with stuff. I don't know if it was from museum or if it was private collection stuff, but they kind of went after a Goodwood sort of vibe of like setting up a diorama of, you know, the period look behind the 904 and the 550 and then coming into the 80s and the, you know, the, the Miller High Life Group C
just
car.
Say that.
You have to.
You knew Randy
car,
was going to be
that
into
car, man. Oh, that car is very, very cool looking. But then actually, the one next to it, I posted about this on Instagram. I took a photo of the Jochen Rohr GT1 car. If you know that car, it was yellow. I don't know if they call it, what do they call it, 911 GT1, or do they call it a...
It was parked next to the Miller High Life, right?
Yes, yeah. Correct. So that car, I love that car. They made a number of those. That one was a privateer in a yellow livery, but I was at Laguna. I went looking through old photos. I was at Laguna in 97 and saw those cars run at the like FIA race they did there, which was amazing. And seeing that car back there again on the same track in the same series. And anyway, that for me was sort of mountaintop because in whatever, 97, I was a young kid and was, 20 years old and was there watching amazing cars that are now considered historic, which is sort of a dinosaur moment for me. But, I mean, that car was there racing against McLaren F1, GTR, like long tail cars, the Davidoff car and the CLK GTRs that I mentioned earlier and that sort of stuff. And that period of racing, sports car racing and Le Mans racing is like unbelievable. So they bring stuff like that out. I don't know if that's out of some museum or out of some collection or what was going on. That wasn't racing competitively this weekend, but it was there for everybody to see. Those cars in the garages, right? They had the modern Penske RS Spiders, those cars, the DHL livery cars, that sort of stuff. I love seeing that stuff come out, and most of that stuff is hidden away, but then you show up at this and there's five of them in one place at one time, and it's really special, I think.
That's
it's
so
almost
true.
Yeah, those, it's overload.
Those GT1s, I think it's funny, like, you never see those. I was like, oh, damn, that's the one. Even you see, like, a McLaren F1, it's kind of like, okay, I know what that is, they're around, but those in particular, I feel, are tucked away, and I can't recall the last time I saw one of those out in the wild.
I don't remember if there was one. I've actually been, this is my third Rennsport. I went to the one in 2011, which I think was the first one at Laguna Seca, 12 years ago. I don't think I can't remember if there was one there or not. The famous one is the mobile livery.
I went back in my pictures. It was Porsche Motorsport livery. I don't know if they didn't have a sponsor or if it was like factory one, white with black. That was one that was there in 97. And then this was the yellow sort of privateer one. And then they ran a Marlboro painted one back in the day.
Red and white.
Which you're not allowed to do anymore.
Nope.
And anyway, so we don't have to go too deep on that model, but that model for me is crazy. And there was a street version of that car that you see guys in the UK sell and guys in Germany sell. Anyway, those cars are floating around. If you go to the Porsche Museum, you may see one, but to see one in California sitting out with all these other race cars was mountaintop. It was very cool.
Another cool component of this of Rennsport is a lot of the drivers are kind of the legends that drove back in the day and current pros that are either in their own car or driving other people's cars. In my pit, we had Patrick Long that was driving the race-winning 962. I guess if he's entered a 962, he's pretty much expected to win, and he did just that. I had Jörg Burmeister in my group driving a GT3 RSR. So it's funny to cruise up to the pre-grid and be standing there with some of these guys who, you know, we were watching drive in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. So that's neat that it brings out kind of the big heavies like that.
What was that vibe like on the track? Were you radioed in to people and stuff? Was it like full-on modern racing, or were you watching the flags and you were like quiet in your head in your helmet and it was like figured out in the rain? Or
It won't surprise you, I did not opt for a radio. But yeah, people were definitely, had their pit crew on the comms and were figuring it out. These are kind of sprint races, so 9, 10 laps. So there's not really a strategy, so to speak. It's kind of go out there and drive as fast as you can. You're not going to run out of gas or tires. Alex, I bought all these tires for this event with the rain. We had a little accident in one of the races, so that was cut short. The next time I drive the car, I don't have to buy any rubber. I got a full set ready to go. So
you're all
nice.
Set. You don't have to worry about that. What was the racing like, Howard, compared to other? You've got a fair amount of historical or vintage racing under your belt. Was it similar, different? Did Porsches being the only cars in the grid make a difference?
I think compared to like the Monterey Historics, where you get a huge variance of the types of cars and performance on track, with the Rennsport groups, all the cars were substantially similar in kind of capability. So I thought the level of driving kind of awareness and talent was pretty high. So yeah, I would say it was definitely felt different from other events I've done. And I'm, like I said, not a huge Porsche guy, but being out there, I think my group had almost 50 cars in it. So
amazing.
There's always someone to run with. And like I said, with all the cars in their period livery, it's the best seat in the house to watch the races. I thought it was terrific. Also, not to be glossed over, there was a few BAT alumni cars there. We actually sold a car I noticed immediately. We had a Porsche race car collection not too long ago, and there was a yellow 993 GT2, a pretty special car that sold on BAT not more than 2 months ago, and that was pitted in my row, and I sought out that guy, and I said, was this car sold with the Rennsport acceptance? He said, no, I bought this thing, and whenever that was, the end of August, and tried really hard to get it accepted and pulled some strings and all that, and sure
enough. Tom Tivy.
Correct.
BAT user, yep. Tom Tivy.
Shout out to Tom Tivy. He's a great guy, and was in my group, actually, was on the grid, made it happen. That car was looking great. So it's always fun to see stuff that you worked on here in the office at an event like that.
That car was also Jochen Rohr, by the way, yellow. It says his name in huge letters across the hood, just like the GT1. And then another car that was there, a white car, and they did a group shot with him. That dude was on site, and they did a photo with that.
With
that
two car, of his old cars.
With the BAT alumni car and the GT1 and another RSR car.
He somehow got linked up with the original owner who ran that car, I guess, in Europe back in the 90s. And there's so many stories like that all over Rennsport, right? All these teams and owners find the guys that were running it in the day, and they're all super enthusiastic to come out and support the car and be there. So I thought that was pretty neat.
So much enthusiasm kind of around just the vibe was enthusiastic. And in terms of differences between earlier Rennsports, that felt a little different. Like the last one I remember felt, and you're right, we were there together, Howard, I remember that. We even had maybe a little semi-BAT presence there, weren't we? Kind of like hanging out in somebody's pit, and they didn't really want us there.
No, we had BAT tents. Okay. We had guerrilla marketing last time with right. BAT tents over some Porsche race cars. That was that's shaking right. up some official sponsors. But we were just there at Cash this year, and Howard was on track. People said, hey, what's BAT doing here? And I said, well, Howard's racing in that group. You ought to go watch him. That was my main line, which was not an official connection, but we liked having him there.
What was your kind of approach and vibe for the event, Randy? You went early. You were there before me. I don't know if you went with family. You said you went to a 356 event. I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, there's kind of some other events that get bolted on to this one around town, right? And people always kind of do that because the Rennsport circus is so big, and some people get like 4-day tickets for it. Mm-hmm. I did not do that, but there were some people that were there for day after day after day, and I can get why you'd want to go for a drive.
I saw cars driving down 19th Avenue on Tuesday, like a big group of Porsches. So there were people making a week out of it.
It's a big thing. So, but yeah, I went to, there was a 356 registry meetup in Carmel Valley, which is just over the hill from Laguna Seca, and a bunch of cars turned out, and it was like in a schoolyard grass area. It was like very mellow, you know, and I went there with a buddy, and we just kind of walked through, and it was kind of old timey car show, but very cool. I love 356s. So that was cool to see. But yeah, they had all the parking areas delineated at the event by, you know, the 914s are here and the 944s are here and all these different models. So you could actually see car shows right there at the event if you wanted to walk the parking grounds, but it was cool to see some other thing. And then you have people that are in town that have come a long way, right? Like I'm there and got to go, you know, share a meal with a German buddy who's in town and an East Coast buddy who's in town. And it kind of brings people out of the woodwork. Are you going to Rennsport? That was the kind of question for the 3 months prior to the event. And then, you know, you get to see a bunch of people while you're walking the halls. So I like that. I went early. Yeah, I went on Thursday, which was practice day. There wasn't that many people there. And I kind of got some cool access and to actually have some conversations with folks that were probably going to be a little bit more stressed out on track or in the car or at official programming. Thursday was a pretty cash day. But the big crowds were there, I think, on Saturday, Sunday.
But the crowds on Thursday and Friday were pretty impressive for the kind of early practice, early part of the event. Talking about the crowd that was there, I mean, Alex, you came down with your 10-year-old son, but I noticed just a ton of young people, which is, I mean, Dwayne Wade was driving a Porsche tractor in the tractor race, so they had some kind of celebrity collabs going on. But I thought a ton of international presence, that probably isn't surprising, but a lot of people in their 20s and 30s that were super pumped to be there. And it was definitely not gray heads of hair walking around everywhere. I mean, that, you know, that's to be expected. But I thought, I mean, we mentioned the event was sold out, 120,000 people, but it was cool to see the kind of dispersion of who was all there. And it was a lot of youngs, Alex.
Totally. Flat brim baseball hats, tattoos. It was, that's what I was kind of trying to say. It felt different. It's the Luftgekultification of Rennsport a little bit, right? Like the Porsche brand has changed a little bit or become more of a, I don't know, there's more kind of culture around it than there was, or a different culture than there was even just 5 years ago, I think.
Here's an interesting one that I was told on this one. I forget who said this, and even if I knew who said it, I probably shouldn't call them out. But they were like, yeah, you should go to Rennsport this year because it's going to be the last year where the 911 is gas-powered. Like, this is like a swan song sort of deal. And I was like, I don't know. This feels like it's on the run up
totally
to me. It doesn't feel like... Totally. Like, you know, this is going to be the last good rents for 5 years from now. But hey, 5 years from now, you know, what's the 2028 model year 911 going to be? I mean,
it'll be different. But I mean, I'm so tired of hearing that. You know, like, oh, totally. It's all over. Car culture is over. Young people don't care. Every time I go to one of these Porsche events, to your point, Randy, it seems like there's more enthusiasm. Every Luftgekult I go to, this Rennsport felt different. So I don't buy that's dying out. And Porsche in particular, with its brand control, and this was the 75th anniversary of the company too. That's another thing we can mention that was special about this event. 1948 in Gmund, Austria. So I mean, it'll be different. There were a lot of SUVs, a lot of the electric cars running around, but there was a Taycan, whatever the electric Tesla competitor is, with the pink pig livery on it. I mean, people are like, you know, buying the new electric cars, but they're still aware of the history and of all the, I mean, they love that kind of stuff, right?
You guys hear the electric GT3 car, whatever that was out on track. They'd run like four gas ones. And then there was a crazy one way by, sounded like a spaceship, right?
And it was like keeping up with like the LMP1 car. I was wondering the same thing. I asked a guy, like, what is that thing?
I don't know anything about it.
It was crazy.
It's a full electric GT3?
It was whatever it was. Yeah. All I noticed was the sound. It came over the corkscrew and everybody was like aghast. It was totally crazy. But full race car. Not like some
awesome.
Not like some SUV they're out there running for show. It was a race car.
Yeah. And they made it cool. They had like Trans-Siberian Cayennes running up to the corkscrew and like everywhere you looked, there was a lot of thought that went into every inch of that track and what kind of Porsche presence and vehicles they selected for each area. So
can you talk about the tractor race a little bit? Howard, you mentioned it, and that's kind of become a thing that people like, and I wonder if people are browsing the pages of BAT looking for their tractors so they can participate in that.
Yeah, we got any
madness.
Porsche tractors live right now? We should list them like 2 months before.
I was wondering how many of those were bought on BAT, but you want to talk about that a little bit? It's an interesting event and pretty fun.
Yeah, I don't know how many Rennsports they've been running that, but... they basically, okay, sounds like Randy's holding up a two. So it's definitely a fan favorite. They had something like 25 or 30 tractors. They do like a Le Mans start to run to your tractor and fire it up. I've never driven a Porsche tractor, much less any tractor, so I can't tell you how they work. Dwayne Wade figured it out. I'd recommend everyone check out his Instagram feed. There's some great...
D-Wade, was he pretty fired up?
Do you call that in-car footage? I don't know. Tractor-mounted footage. They don't go very fast. So the race is, if it's a lap, maybe it's six or seven corners. But as you can imagine, that attracts all sorts of characters who want to get in on the tractor race. And it's creates a fun little social dynamic. But... I'm bummed. I didn't actually get to see the race, but every time they ran one, I was running somewhere else or I just missed it. But it's well documented on social media, so we can relive the 23 tractor race for many years to come.
Total fan favorite. I mean, my son was like, "What is this?"
I'm glad he got to see it, though.
I was like, "Yeah, Porsche made tractors, and you know, a lot of them are unrestored. They still look like they're straight off the farm." And
the cool one was like the special one with the special fairing.
Oh, the Aero. Yeah,
that's sports car.
Yeah,
like off a coffee plantation in South America.
That was like kind of center stage. stage at the Lufka Cult that was at Universal Studios. And I was like, what is this?
Correct.
But yeah, really cool event. And man, the spectators, to your point, I would love it when they were gridding up. It was four or five rows deep. Everybody with selfie sticks and their cameras out taking pictures of it. People are fired up for that.
It's cool to do something that's not all, you know, the highest horsepower, the biggest bravado race team hauler and whatever. That one levels the playing field a little bit. It'd be like an all 9-12 race, Alex. Something like that, like a handicapping system.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's like you see so many, you know, GT3, RSR, RR, Rennsport, Triple R, whatever. And it becomes untouchable for a lot of people. But I think the tractor race is an injection of levity, which I appreciate. I think it's super cool.
Just to close the loop on that, in September we actually did sell two Porsche tractors.
I wonder if they were out there. I wonder if they were the ones.
60 and a 61.
Yeah, okay. Great. We sold a lot of those.
Great. All diesels, Alex? Are they all diesels?
I think they're all diesels. I think they're single and maybe two-cylinder diesels. There's three levels, I think. There's a junior and a big one. I think the biggest one's only like 40 or 50 horsepower.
I want somebody to actually build one and like resto mod one and take it out there and run with those guys and actually shake them up a little bit. I think that would be a
big turbo.
A nice surprise. Yeah, totally. Something tricky.
Yeah.
So anyhow, any other Porsche stuff we want to touch on?
I'm anxious
to transition to the other conversation.
Yeah, let's debate about somebody else could do it. I think that's really interesting. My 12-year-old son, Felix, he's not been interested in racing at all, much to my chagrin. None of my kids are. But then the Goodwood feed was on recently, which Randy always used to throw on in HQ when we were all together, which I always love. And I popped it on our TV, and he sat down and watched that whole. It was actually incredible. Did you guys see the 250 only race, the race that had at Goodwood? It was a class of only 250 Ferraris.
You're talking a few weeks ago at the Revive.
Uh-huh, yeah, correct. Sure. Amazing. 250 LM spun, smacked the wall, back on track, and ended up winning. Amazing.
Collier car.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yep. GTO burst into flames. There was another GTO, a whole bunch of short wheelbases really hustling. He sat down and watched that whole thing, was asking questions, and I said, hey, I'm going to go to this Rennsport thing. You want to come? And he loved the whole kind of experience of it, spotting Porsches on the way down, staying at a nice hotel, eating good food, getting our car valet parked right out in front. He really enjoyed that. We went down in my bright yellow Porsche. And so he enjoyed all of it, including a lot of the track stuff. But one of the questions he kept asking me was, this is Porsche only, and there's Porsches everywhere. Could anybody else do this? Is there any other mark that could do this? This is the same question you had, Randy.
I love it that I have, what is he, 13
He's
now?
12,
I got the 12-year-old wandering eye going like, man, couldn't Mercedes do something cool?
I mean, my conclusion in the car to him was that maybe Ferrari could, but I don't know if you could fill 10 classes with interesting
Ferraris.
Oh,
Ferrari could do it, dude. I didn't even start going there. I was so hung up on German. If Ferrari threw a festival like this, I mean, they have like an amusement park, right?
Would it sell out Laguna Seca? Did you get 120,000 people? I mean, you certainly couldn't fill the grid with, there's not enough Ferraris to fill the parking lots the way you can with Porsches.
Yeah, I wonder what that would look like. I think they could.
Yeah, I was thinking just more filling out the race groups with 45, 50 cars each group. Ferrari could, but that'd be a tougher get, just given the extra sensitivity and values and characters in the Ferrari world. I think BMW would be tough for them. Are you going to get a grid of 50 cars from 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s? Like Porsche just has that range that is pretty tough to match, which is obviously why they pull it off so well. But
where did you land, Randy? Do you think there's any other brands that could do it?
I mean, I don't. I wish they would. I mean, it's kind of a pretty serious, bar that is set by this event. So you don't want to show up and like throw some very average one. They've also done 7 of them, right? Mm-hmm. They're pretty far out front. But I don't know. I just think everybody talks about the Porsche brand and how it's on such an upswing and so successful and so profitable. The other brands you would think would want to emulate that, would want to ride that wave, would want to do the same thing and build that sort of enthusiasm. And I think there's enough cars out there. I think there's enough race enthusiasm out there. I just don't know if there's the sort of direction from the brand side of
Porsche's that so people would love smart to. About that stuff, right? I mean, back to the fact that there were so many 991 and 992 GT3s just cruising all over the place. It's like, they have such tight control and such a smart angle on supporting the old history of the company that then feeds the sales of the new cars. It seems like a no-brainer, right? that other brands would want to copy that.
You would think. You would think. So I don't know. I don't know if they will ever do it. I also don't, you know, usually totally love single mark or exclusive type stuff. Like my favorite part of walking through the paddock at modern or vintage racing events is like the wacky variety, right? Like I'd love to see somebody throw a Datsun at one of these Porsche races and pass some people
totally.
And freak them out, right? And yep. That sort of competition I think is cool. When it's all Porsches, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Where did you fall in the pecking order of Porsches in your run group, right? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was interesting for you, Howard, but it's all, it's certainly enjoyable, but I think it's the racing is more interesting, I think, when, and even just the parking lot is more interesting when it's like, oh, whoa, there's an Aston. The Brits tried to do it that way instead of the Germans doing it this way. Mm-hmm. And then the Italian, you know, that whole, that's the more the European or the Goodwood vibe that you're talking about some other events. So anyway, I like the mix, but I'm very impressed with the Rennsport event. I would go again. I don't know if they're going to do it more than every 5 years, but I think a lot of good comes out of it just for general car enthusiasm. And yeah, people, it shuts down the narrative super quickly of, oh, you know, there's not that much interest in, you know, old cars or racing or whatever. It's like, okay, like look at this place. It's like the Super Bowl, you know? I mean, it's like so much of it.
Yeah. I just felt like everyone was there. Like probably a lot of people listening to this were there, but just the people component separate from the cars and the racing was as good as any event I've been to. And you're at the track, you're at your hotel, you're walking around Carmel. Like I just ran into every 10 feet. I feel there was someone that I knew or that I wanted to know. And on the subject of kind of the legends coming out, I mean, I loved walking around and being like, okay, well, there's George Fulmer just eating a hot dog by himself. And there's David Hobbs ordering his coffee. Like all these, you know, that's what's great about doing some of these car events. Just it brings people together and gives you access to all sorts of people that you otherwise would never cross paths with in your life.
Totally. And so much, so much history there, right? Whatever, 25 Le Mans wins, all that. So, I mean, to your point, Randy, and this dovetails on what Howard is saying too, like there is variety within Porsche, right? They've been building cars for 75 years and they've been racing pretty much that whole time. So you can get a surprising amount of diversity even just within this one mark. And I don't know if there are other brands like that really. Do you know what I mean? And like the history.
I think there are, man. I always want to say there.
Yeah,
you know
maybe.
How many cool Mercedes race cars there are over the history? I mean, it's unbelievable.
They super cool ones. Yeah.
They could have all sorts of cool stuff out.
And they'd have to do Mercedes in Europe, though, to make it as good, I think.
Yeah, people wouldn't bring them all. And that's actually, let's talk about that real quick. Like, would Rennsport at Spa be a thing, right? Or would they do it at the Nürburgring, or would they do it someplace very German, right? I don't know. But it's interesting to me that they do it in California. I think some of the people like the weather in California, like just the fact that it is sort of off-site as opposed to under their nose in Stuttgart or whatever. It has a different feel.
And a lot of the cars are here, obviously.
There's a lot of them here, but there's a lot of them there, too.
Of course,
man.
There are.
Yeah. So, Rennsport at Spa would be pretty sick, man.
Right?
I think it'd probably be better.
About that. I mean, for us being here, we're like, ooh, we want to go there. But for all those guys, they're like, ooh, we want to go to Laguna Seca.
So, people would definitely bring their rain tires.
But if in five, yes. If in 5 years they're like, it's at Laguna again, like, are we stoked on that? Or is it like, okay, like, this is the fourth one in a row? Or like, you know, I tend to like, oh, I actually heard about this. This is funny. People are going to know.
National alert. Are we all getting this?
Turn that off. It's a test of the national broadcast.
Man, bad
alerts.
Timing.
No. But I heard that was coming. That's funny. If anybody's listening to this, they'll know that
that's
recorded.
Yeah.
It was
gotcha.
Recorded at that time. But it's just a test. No actual national emergency other than Rennsport leaving Laguna Seca.
Totally. Would that be national emergency? I don't know. It's super interesting to think about doing it somewhere else, Randy. I mean, you guys have so much more knowledge and experience with European racing venues. It seems like that would feel really... really cool and authentic and would tie in nicely with the history of the brand, right? But for selfish reasons, I like having it here. It's so easy to get down to Monterey for us, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, what else we got, Alex? We're all coming down from our Rennsport high, but we realize most of the car world was probably not there.
Yeah, that's true. Bring a trailer, trucks along. All of our folks are putting a lot of listings onto the website. I don't know if you guys want to spend 5-10 minutes talking about what we got going on now. What do you think, Ray?
For
you
sure.
Got time?
I mean, man, there's so many headlines right now, right?
Yep.
The BAT app was launched, which is rolling, and people are using that a whole bunch. We've got some crazy stuff on the site right now. So a few things have finished.
Yep.
Looking at results, people are asking us about the market and what's happening with cars and where's they it sure going are. And what's going on.
Do you have a few of those convos down at Red Sport?
All the time. All the time. You know, what's my 73 Targa going to be worth if I hold on to it for 3 more years? All this sort of stuff. So, but that's fun to riff on. But
you're
look
at that GT1 to distract the conversation.
Yeah. I got a couple interesting ones on, or Howard, what do you got?
No, I got down there. Where is the Jubilee 964 market headed? Need your market insights.
I saw that car. I don't have it on my list, but that silver Jubilee car is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Those are funky. There was all sorts of special edition and crazy cars there, but yeah, some people like to talk about the market. That's not my super favorite convo, but it works. It's interesting to watch where things are going, but certainly I just like watching cool stuff coming across the website. You know, whether it's the Dodge Caravan factory five speed that's on the site right now.
100%. That's been in some text threads with my buddies. That car, that van's making its rounds for sure.
That'll sell for $8,200, you know, full retail. Or
a lot of, I was in one of those when I was a kid. The mom had one of those with a 5-speed. Fascinating.
No way.
I've
never seen
one. Wow. How did I miss this thing?
I know.
Fantastic.
My wife's family had three of those with automatics, and all the automatics broke and were all sorts of misery. So maybe the 5-speed is the hot setup. But what else is on the site?
For me, this is I should have segued from the Goodwood 250 talk. We have our first Lusso on the site, which is bar none my favorite Ferrari. It's not red, which I love. It's black tan. And it has a 275 GTB motor in it, which is interesting, which I kind of like. And maybe...
Is that kill value or is that hike value?
I don't know. Ask Howard.
I'm also thrilled we have that car. That's a local car that I'm super familiar with. Cool guy that lives... locally, has owned it for a long time. He's a very active buyer and seller on BAT. I actually think he bought a big car with us not too long ago, and so his Lusso is finally going to move on. But yeah, 275 motor. It's a 63 Lusso,
and it was put in a long time ago, so it's semi period, maybe 70s or something is when
Correct.
They put the motor.
It was put
in
the late 60s, early 70s. Yep. So I think it's a cool modification.
Same.
You mentioned it's black, Alex. Black Lusos, black TDF, sign me up.
Totally.
I think they look the best. So not too often that we get a first on BAT.
No,
but,
not anymore.
It's pretty awesome. We've never listed one before, and so that's live now. I would encourage everyone to check that out, being sold by Fantasy Junction, who know what they're doing with that type of stuff. So we'll see where that lands.
Beautiful car. Where do you stand on the Lusso? It, for me, it's number one, like over GTO, over everything.
Ooh, it's not that high. Maybe on the podium.
Yeah, okay.
Lusso's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that car. I like that. I like that. Yeah, it was sort of gentleman driver's car, but it looks beautiful and swoopy. Yep. The pillars on that car are really dainty. Like
a gentleman driver, that's how I identify myself. Totally.
That's like a cologne or something.
Totally.
But
loafers.
Yeah, but no, I don't know. I just think that when I would see one of those, like the 250, the PF cars, the coupe, and even some of the convertibles don't look as sort of fast. To me, that car has like a fast look to it. It also has a center binnacle, right? Which I don't think most of them have. So anyway, it just has some cool features to it. But Lusso meant like luxe, right? It meant like the luxury model, which it kind of doesn't look like compared to some of the other ones to me. But I dig it. The old McQueen photos, actually in Monterey and in Carmel. He drove his root beer colored one up. I saw that car sell at a Monterey auction.
That's the one for me.
A zillion
the brown
years ago.
Car,
yeah, the totally. Root beer one with the black California plates on it. He has pictures in some books of him driving that car, which makes it special. But anyway, I love Lusos. I'm stoked we have one on the site. Every time I see one in person, I'm into it. I really like those.
Other one that I kind of jotted down here that I keep coming back to this week, which is I also want to get Randy's take on, is the Kellison. It's Jim Kellison's Kellison. Have you seen that car, Randy?
Oh, I knew we had a Kellison. I didn't know it belonged to Jim Kellison. I didn't even know Jim Kellison was Kellison.
James Jim Kellison. Yeah, okay. It's his car. They're great-looking cars. It's probably the best-looking one I've ever seen. Light blue color, 283 with a 5-speed. Really, really awesome car. Every time it kind of pops up on our little scroll at the top of the site, I click in and take another look.
I want to look at it. I'm going to pull it up right now. Little known fact. Did you guys know that the Duke of Richmond of Goodwood fame bought a Kellison on BAT?
I did not know that. He's kind of a hot rod guy, though.
He's
likes
a California
30s,
hot rodding
50s cars.
Guy,
yeah.
And he bought that car on BAT and shot a video about it
awesome.
like 10 years ago. But this new Kellison I'm going to pull up right now. So talk about it. What's the deal?
Howard, you, I presume, took this guy. Is this fantasy too?
It's very sick. Callison's, like all those types of specials, can take a lot of different forms. So you can line five of them up in a row and be surprised they're all have the same logo on the hood. This car is actually owned by, I believe it's owned by a guy named Jay Lamb, who we know, who's
is that great Jay local Lamb's dude, car?
Guy who started the 24 Hours of Lemons. I believe that it is. And I'm a coupe guy, so
yeah.
I like coupes, and I just think this has the look. This is a car. I don't know how many people want to strap themselves into a Callison.
Yeah, totally.
I would. I don't know if that's a big number or a small number, but this is a car you can actually do stuff with.
Yeah.
And I think I don't love all Callison body styles, yeah. But this one I think looks really badass. And yeah, I'm glad we have it.
J4, I think, is what it
J4
is.
J4EX, yes. This one's called. I don't even know what that means, was a J4 series. I don't know what the EX means. But yeah, it's got a 283 in it and a 5-speed, and it's got a good sub. They're very low. They're like swoopy, low
super
bodies.
Low.
And they kind of stand out for that reason. I think they're cool. I think they're like a better-looking version of a Bill Thomas Cheetah.
Totally. Cheetahs are a little weird-looking, but they're awesome. There was an awesome one running at Goodwood.
Those are cool, but yep. These have the sort of swoopy arrow look. They actually they put moons on one of these and ran them at the flats.
No kidding.
Because look at the arrow.
Oh,
on
totally.
It, right?
It's yeah. Got, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's you can do some crazy things with these. But the blue one's cool. And now that I know it's Jay's, I'm stoked to hear that. I didn't know that.
Anything else interesting that you guys are? I have one more. If you want me to keep teeing them up, I've got another one, Randy, that I wanted to pick your brain on. We had another icon derelict pickup truck. We've had two recently, and I wanted to get your take on those Art Morrison chassis and LSs and all that stuff.
I'm not huge on like preserving old paint and like making it into hot rods. I'm not a big like patina paint guy, but the obviously a Jonathan Ward build on those trucks, like it's like from front to back totally redone and amazing. So the sort of engineering behind those trucks is next level. That's not like some backyard resto mod, whatever. That's like it's a serious build, and they get a bunch of money.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you want to talk market? Maybe but we those, can grill Howard about that. They both had pretty amazing results.
Huge numbers on those, but the reason there's a huge number is A, because of the components that Ward puts in those. But secondarily, I think there's like a pretty meaningful weight if you just want to show up at Icon and say, hey, I want one of those now. So much like other cars we list on BAT, it's like you can have this car in 7 days, like ready to go. And so people are willing to pay for that. And that's a pretty cool. And what are they? They're I forget the 3100 trucks or their Thriftmaster trucks or whatever they are. But it's a popular model
to
begin with.
That everything underneath.
Yeah, everything underneath is different. But that's what it looks like. And I think those trucks have a soft spot with him. He liked those. And he's like, we're going to do a run of these, kind of like he does runs of Land Cruisers and Broncos. Mm-hmm. And I think the finished product is pretty amazing, but cool to see them come out of the woodwork. A lot of those builds, you kind of just never know where they ended up. It seemed like after it was kind of an exclusive thing that you'd never know other than to go like pay retail at the builder and wait 4 years. And now we're seeing that in a lot of places, right? Like Emery cars are coming available. Icon trucks are coming available. Singers are coming available. Like stuff is available. And I'm a big fan of this sort of open free market, right? You may not like what the prices are, but at least they're available and you can get your hands on one, as opposed to like back room or long queues or like cutting in line because you're a VIP or whatever. Like taking all that stuff out of the system. I love seeing that. It's like, here it is. Bid on it. If you want it, go for it.
I think a lot of people associate Icon with vintage Land Cruiser builds, but actually the biggest headline results we've had have been these early 50s Chevy trucks. And we've listed some really amazing Icon Broncos that have very deservedly kind of gone nuts. And I love those. I think I'm more drawn to the non-Land Cruiser Icon builds. But the beauty of that is
that 6.9 Mercedes, Randy, with the LS in it. You see that build,
that
right?
That was crazy.
I mean, that car is awesome. Howard, can I tee one up for you, too, that I'm curious about that I kind of wrote down, which is one of the... I mean, it's a pretty unique car. One of the more interesting cars we've ever listed came to us from our repeat seller, Anthony Serra, from 1600 Veloce, and that is the Rocket, the Gordon Murray little open-wheel motorcycle engine car. Shocking number. I remember as a kid, my dad was acquaintances with Jay Leno. We'd go down. He had one of those, and he would always say, every time we'd go through his collection, he'd say, I'd rather have this than a 911 Turbo. He said it every single time, same joke. And I'd never seen another one until this one popped up on our site. Are you able to talk about that car a little bit and why they're worth so much freaking money?
Oh, man. I mean, the light car company, they got the Gordon Murray connection. They didn't make very many of them. I mean, it's a total rocket ship on wheels. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I have too much to offer. I was learning along with the rest of the world when that car was going. I think it did, what, almost $300,000?
Yeah, $300,000 or so. And there's apparently a little second seat in the back. I can't imagine sitting behind the driver. That's a center steer kind of open wheel looking thing.
That car showed up at our alumni gathering at Watkins Glen.
No kidding. That actual car.
I was there. It was wet going there, so I don't think they drove it. Driving that car in the wet on the freeway is like suicide mission. But they brought it out and rolled it out, and it was kind of parked front and center, and everybody got to see it. They fired it up. And this is 1600 Veloce, who's our local partner out in New York. They sell a lot of cars on BAT, and they had that one. And it sold. You can share what it sold for. Didn't it sell for $260?
No,
like
I think
that?
$296. Howard, do you have the result in front of you?
$295. I guess if you get sick of your Ariel Adam and you want to go up a few rungs on the ladder, that would be one for you.
Well, there was a rumor that Gordon Murray was watching the end of the BAT auction. Did
oh,
you guys
no
hear
kidding.
That?
No, I didn't. I mean, it's him and somebody else, right?
Randy, you always are hearing.
I've always got it.
Was that
Red
Sport?
That was a Red Sport. Yeah, I had British buddies who were there who may or may not have even been bidding on it, and maybe he told me that. I forget who it was, but. Anyway, unverified whether he has a username on BAT
or not. They don't come up for sale very often,
I'm guessing. But those cars are very unusual, and that was a pretty special one. And it met reserve and actually sold, right? It's not like some flyer on reserve. So anyway, that was cool to see. I have a lot of other cars I'd buy before I spend $300,000 on that car, personally. And I like Gordon Murray. I think he's cool, but the new Gordon Murray car is not my jam, and I'm not even a huge McLaren F1 dude. But bombshell. I respect it. Yeah. I respect it, and sure. I respect that other people love it, and I get that. I was like engineering.
You and Howard both taking shots at the F1 McLaren on this pod.
No, I mean,
no. I was just saying you never see GT1s around, and
that gets my attention. That's faint praise right there. Mine is more like, yeah. I mean, at those races back in the day, I would rather have a CLK GTR. Than
we need
McLaren
Gordon Murray. We need to find his username. Get him in this studio so you guys can fire
argue. He's obviously a smart cat. He's obviously done well and knows what he's doing. So no question there. But yeah. Anyway. So there's been some very cool stuff on the site. That one has been one of the cool ones. Anyway, we can go down the list, man. I mean, I've always got my watch list with a zillion things.
What's on your watch list? What's the Randy watch list?
We've got 319 no reserve cars on the website right now.
Amazing.
Which is like,
I mean, we're in the midst of record volume. I saw 888 cars on the website a week ago or so, man. Which is definitely the most we've ever had.
Lucky eights. I mean, I'm a total weirdo. I mean, you talk about all this exotic stuff, and then I'm most sad that I wasn't able to buy the car that sold for $21,250, the gold Jeep Cherokee Chief that sold that was in like wonderful shape, and it was $20,000, and I was like, oh, dude, why didn't
what's that like a
that?
Like a 77 Chief?
Good call. 79 wide track,
nice.
Two-door.
Yeah.
I love those. I think those are fantastic.
That's right up your alley.
Yep. And then, yeah, plenty of trucks on my watch list. This crazy special edition Maserati MC20 that's on the site that nobody has. You guys seen this? It's like pearl baby blue color. It's being offered by WAAB out of SoCal.
That.
You should look at that car.
Oh, that's the convertible, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I did
correct.
See that.
That car is crazy.
It's like a Gulf blue kind of.
Yeah. There's a Giulietta TI on the site. You guys know I love those. That's crazy to see those come through. There's a Country Squire wagon with a 428 in it. I like that. Like that as a tow car for a Shelby Mustang is like kind of talking diorama.
Yes.
Like that.
I'm a Vista Cruiser guy, but
dude,
like
there's a big world outside of Porsche, right? There's a huge world outside of Porsche and all this sort of stuff. We have a Sega Super GT game system, sit-in game system.
I love that kind of stuff.
Man, I hit watch button as fast as I could on that one. That ends in 2 days. It's currently at $1,500 with a ton of hundreds of people watching it,
of
just
course.
Like me, because that's what we
people
put quarters in. So.
People love that
stuff. Anyway, I can go through my watch list for days and days and days. I love it.
People want to hear, Randy. They want to hear about your insights on the market. They want to hear what you're watching. Howard, anything in particular for you that you've got your eyes on or that you're excited about? Any sneak peeks? You want to give any sneak peeks about what's coming down the pipeline?
What do we got? We're going to have a pretty neat Mercedes and BMW collection that's going to be starting in a week or two. We've got a couple Ferraris coming in a nice collection out of Houston, including an F12 TDF, which is kind of the headliner for that. Crazy we're in Q4, you guys. I don't know how I feel. We were just chatting, having our annual kickoff company meeting the first week of January, and here we are 10 months later. But we're going to be doing more stuff in Europe coming in 2024, so I'm excited to be meeting more people out there and listing more of the great stuff all over Western Europe, maybe doing some race events, Randy, maybe hopping on a plane and...
There we go. There's a little hint. He's gonna Randy. Stage, how about we do that? I love that.
He's staging his own Rensport. Rensport 8.
Totally. It will be
colon,
at Spa.
Howard Swigs. Like,
thank you, Randy. Yeah, it totally. Will be at Spa. Fantastic. Let's go. Let's go do that.
So, you know, we got all sorts of stuff, interesting stuff coming through.
Roaring into Q4, huh, Howard?
Yes, sir. We apologize for our kind of semi-retirement from this podcast. We've been doing
semi-retired life is all right, but then we got to bring it back. We got so much to say. And honestly, a lot of feedback. I don't know if you guys get it, but a lot of people were like, Randy, you got to bring the podcast back.
Yeah.
You got to bring it back.
I get it. I get it from staffers, which is interesting. They just want to hear us BSing a little bit. Okay. So, I mean, I'm here. I'm ready. So I'm
endless supply. We offer an endless supply of that.
I don't mind talking.
I'm glad we laid this one down today, and hopefully this will kick off the 2.0 version of our pod. I certainly hope it does.
I hope it sounds better for everyone.
Yeah, that was the goal here, is to invest in a little bit better sound. So hopefully that's working for everybody. We're at 50 minutes, which is a nice long BAT riff. We're going to shut it down here. Thanks, everybody, for joining. Talking a little bit of Rensport. We'll join you to talk about Rensport in another 5 years, but our next podcast will be well before that. Let's
hope. Is there a promise, Randy?
And we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. If you have suggestions for the BAT podcast, you can always hit us, podcast@bringatrailer.com. Tell us what you want to hear about, guests you want to get, events you want to hear about. Howard's line through turn 2 and 3 at Laguna. If you want some coaching, he's available. And if you want to hear about Auburn's Cords or Duesenberg's, hit up Alex as well. Okay, good to have you all with us. We'll do it again soon.
Good to be with you guys.